In case you were wondering, I am not Brandon. He didn't age this much in a week. I am Drew Granzo, an elder here at Celebration Church, and I have the privilege of speaking with you this morning. Hopefully, it'll be a privilege for you as well. Brandon, as you know, we do these three services, and we like to give him a week off every 5 or 6 weeks, and so he has this week off, although he's here. He's here someplace. I don't see him, but he's here someplace. I saw him a little while ago. If you have your Bibles, well, wait a minute, let me stop a second. So that video was quite moving, and there's cards like this on your seats. If you would pick one of those up, and if you would just commit to pray for these believers around the world who are persecuted, and these are some young believers like this one. Voice of the Martyrs, if you fill this out, they will send you emails. They'll send you stories on a regular basis. But pray for them. Pray for our fellow believers across the world. If you have your Bibles, and I am absolutely positive that Brandon hopes you do, turn to Acts 3:1. We're going to pick up where Brandon left off last week. And last week he covered a New Testament church and what they were devoted to. There were three points he made. One was devoted to the apostles' teaching. Two was devoted to the fellowship. And three is devoted to prayer. We're going to pick that up because those things that were written in that paragraph that he covered last week, we're going to see it play out in the next couple of chapters of Acts. Okay, we're going to see it play out. So read with me, Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him and did as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What an amazing story. What an amazing story. The first verse says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How often do you think Peter and John went up to the temple to pray? Well, the answer to that was last week. So if you were here last week, you should know the answer to that. But if you don't remember, we're going to look at verse Acts 2:46. And Jesus, and here's what Luke writes. He says, "And day by day, attending the temple together." They went up to the temple every day together. Every day. Christ's followers were attending the temple. The New Testament church was attending the temple. They were there every day. How often did they pray together? They were going up to pray. How often did they pray together? Again, if you were paying attention last week, hopefully you're paying attention this week. In Acts 42, it gives us the answer. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So they went up to the temple every day, and what did they do? They were going there to pray. Peter and John were going there to pray. So they went to the temple, and they prayed daily. Now you might ask yourself, why did they go to the temple? The temple was filled with a bunch of unbelieving Israelites. So why would they go pray at the temple? I'm glad you asked, because I was curious about that too. Here's what I came up with. They had the same God. They were praying to the God of Israel. Some of the Israelites were unbelievers in Christ, but they were believers in God, and they were there to recognize and pray before God. They needed more information. They needed to be taught more. And how do we teach? We have to interface with people. What a great place to go. They already wanted to be with God. They were in prayer. They wanted to be with God. So if we show up and pray with them, they can hear our prayers as we talk to God. You have an opportunity to share Christ with them. They loved their fellow Jews. They wanted them to know Christ. We too should love our neighbors and want them to know Christ. And we should go to places where we can interface with non-believers and get them to know Christ through our faith. Sometimes we're hesitant to actually pray with other churches because they have some doctrinal differences. They may be believers in Christ, but there's some doctrinal differences. I would encourage you to go pray with them. We have many community events here in Montrose where we pray with one another, and I would encourage you to go pray with them. They may pray differently. They may have some different doctrinal thoughts, but we should pray with them because we are praying to the same God. Sometimes I think we just withdraw because of that. The other thing I think we need to pick up here is we need to learn to pray daily together. We come together on Sunday. We'll have a prayer here occasionally, like every Sunday. And sometimes we see people out in the back praying with each other. Somebody has a request. I like to pray with somebody every day if we can. That's what they did. They were in the habit of it. The New Testament church made prayer a priority, and they prayed together every day. I'm going to challenge you this week. You ready for a challenge? Say yes, Drew.
Yes.
Yes, Drew. There you go. Very good. Very good. I want to challenge you. This week, I want you to find somebody to pray with every day. Now, I know there's an easy out here. If you're married, you might pray with your spouse every day. I'm going to say that doesn't count. You should be praying with your spouse every day, but that doesn't count. I want you to find somebody outside of your family and seek them out and pray with them every day. It doesn't have to be the same person. It might be somebody else. But just practice what the New Testament church did and find somebody to pray with every day this week. And then next week, that's the homework assignment. Next week, I want you to tell me what happened. What did you learn from that? So we need to be in the habit of praying with someone every day. Let's look at Acts 2 for a second, verse 2. And a man from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So what do we know about this lame man? We know that he was lame from birth, from this verse. We know that he was more than 40 years old. We know that because a little bit further on in this story, this is the beginning of the story, a little bit further on in the story, in Acts 4:22, it says, "For the man on whom the signs of healing were performed was more than 40 years old." He had been lame for a very, very long time. We also know that he was completely reliant on others. He couldn't move around. It says they carried him. They carried him daily to the temple, to the Beautiful Gate, and they placed him there so that he could beg. He was unable to work, so that was all he could do was beg. He would beg for alms. Now, what are alms? Alms is just money. It could be food, could be clothing, any kinds of those kinds of goods that would help him. He had no way of making money or making a living. He had to rely on others. We also know that from the text that he was there daily. He was there a lot. At 40 years old, it was probably his spot. Right? It wasn't somebody else, another beggar's spot. It was his spot. And those that came to the temple daily no doubt knew him. In fact, in verse 9, we actually see that many recognized who he was after he was healed as the man who was begging at the gate. He was well known, and he knew many people. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. The lame man asked Peter and John, trying to get their attention, "Can you give me something?" Now, it did get Peter and John's attention. You know, I've never had to beg for something. Well, I know, I think I probably begged Linda for something. Some of my favorite things. But I've never had to stand out and beg. But it's always been curious. I've been in a lot of public places, and I've watched people who are beggars. And what do? They're looking. So they may call out, "Can you give me something?" We see it around here. There's a few places. "Can you give me something?" They have signs often. "Can you give me something?" And they'll call out, can you give me something? But at the same time, what are they doing? They're looking for people they think have something of surplus to give. So what do they look for? They look first at, you know, how are they dressed? Are they dressed in such a way they look like they have money? I think they kind of blew this with John and Peter. But what else do they look for? What they look for is a face that looks kind or friendly, somebody who would be willing to talk to them, because if they're willing to talk to them, then maybe I can get some money from them. That's what they were looking for. I've watched it. And so even though you might call out somebody who's in front of you, you're looking behind them, right? Who else, maybe my regulars would come up. They're constantly looking in the crowd. But he did. He got Peter and John's attention, but then John and Peter had to get his attention. In verse 4, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he looked. As I was reading this passage, I was wondering, what did he see when he looked at him? They held his attention. What did he see? The Bible tells us that he was expecting something from them, but he got something unexpected. He was expecting something from them. I can only imagine that Peter and John were radiating Jesus Christ in their face. There was a love there. I think there was a tenderness there. He saw it. I wonder if he even saw their faith in Jesus Christ. The second half of verse 6 says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let's notice something here. He didn't just say, "Rise up and walk." He didn't say, "In Peter's name or in John's name, rise up and walk." That would have been an utter failure. The first part of my professional career, I worked for large computer companies. Companies like Texas Instruments and Compaq Computer and Dell Computer. When I would make a call to a potential supplier and show some interest in their product, and I'd introduce myself as Drew Granzo, their response to that was something on the order of, "So? Who are you?" But if I introduced myself as Drew Granzo with Dell Corporation, that would get their attention. I represented Dell, but I wasn't Dell. I was Drew Granzo. In this particular case, They are representatives of Jesus Christ, but they are not Jesus Christ. The power comes from Jesus Christ, not from us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, wise up and walk. The power is in Jesus Christ. The power is not us, but him. We only are representatives of him. Jesus Christ is God. He is all-powerful. It is through his power that this lame man was healed. Let's notice one other thing. If the company I was working for was a large company but had gone bankrupt, and I called up a company and said, hey, I'm with Dell. Of course, they're not bankrupt, but I'm with Dell, and I'd like to do business with you, they would say, no. You don't have anything I can do. Notice here that Jesus Christ is alive. He was died and was resurrected, and he is alive and powerful. Dead people are incapable of doing anything. Jesus Christ is alive. This was not the first time that Jesus healed a lame man. Remember the story of the paralytic? Were four friends of this paralytic carried him before Jesus. They believed, they honestly believed so much that Jesus Christ could save them, could heal their friend, that they carried him. Excuse me. As they got close to Jesus, they realized they couldn't get to Jesus. There was a crowd. It was in the way. These four friends were not deterred. They took him up onto the roof, they removed the roof tiles or whatever were there, and they lowered him down right in front of Jesus. This story is in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark, as this man is being raised down, here's in Mark 2 what Jesus says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. They didn't say they had faith, he saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. He said that in the midst of scribes and Pharisees. And when they heard that, they were enraged. He was claiming, Jesus, this man, was claiming to be God because only God can forgive sins. And they knew this. And so Jesus was saying to them, I am God. And then in turn, he realizes that they don't believe him. And so he heals this lame man. Because they knew only God can heal the lame man. One and the same. The power to do that. So Mark 2:11 says, Jesus said this, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. You see the parallel here? Peter and John saw the example of what Jesus did. Peter and John knew Jesus had the power to heal, and they used it. But there's even something else here that we need to actually pay attention to. In this story of the lame man and in the story of the paralytic, what happened was many believed in Jesus because of it. We'll see that next week that Peter is because of what happened, 5,000 people come to know the Lord. He had a chance to preach. At the same time with the paralytic, many believed in Jesus Christ because he did that miraculous act. So he was blessing the man, but he was also blessing the people with enlightening them to who he was. Notice also that the lame man saw Peter and John's faith. He believed because Peter and John believed. Is your faith in Christ visible enough that others see it in you and believe in Christ? Or do we veil our faith, except when we're around other believers? We need to let our faith shine for all to see wherever we're at in any time. We should be bold in sharing our faith and in giving people encouraging words and letting them know that encouragement's coming from Christ through us. I challenge you today for that. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. And we're going to see just how completely and how instantaneously Jesus heals. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Notice that it was immediate. It didn't take an hour. It didn't take 10 minutes. It didn't take any minutes at all. It didn't take any seconds. It was instantaneous. It was instantaneous. Have you ever seen a newborn baby pop out of the womb and walk? Have you ever seen somebody who has had knee replacement surgery or hip replacement surgery come out of surgery and hop off that table and walk? No. This was a marvelous thing. It was a miraculous thing. This man had never even walked. He didn't know how to walk. He didn't have any walking memory to do that. It was immediate. It was instant. He was immediately healed. This is exactly what happens when we come to Christ. When we become believers in Christ, our sins are instantaneously forgiven. They are all put on the cross with Christ. That burden of sin is immediately lifted from us, and we are free in an instant. In that moment. Yes, we may have a lifetime of learning and a lifetime of growing closer with the Lord day by day, but in that instant we believe in Christ, we are forgiven. We are healed spiritually. As a result of this, we look to verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What is the response to such a thing? He recognized God and what God did, and he praised him for it. All of us should be praising God for what he's done for us. I've had the pleasure of being in the room with people and leading people to the Lord. It's an amazing thing to watch. You see them come under conviction. They recognize that they're sinners. They recognize they're in a hopeless situation. They are burdened. They are heavily burdened. And you ask them, you tell them the story of Jesus Christ, how he came, how he was God, he was sent to earth. You tell him how he was a perfect man, he'd never sinned, and because he never sinned, he actually was the only one who was eligible to be able to take the burden of our sin, to pay the price, which is death for those sins on the cross. And yet he was raised from the dead, he had the power over death. And you tell them that story, and they recognize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And they stop and they repent from their sins and they ask God to forgive them their sins. And in that moment, their sins are forgiven. And you see their countenance change. Their face changes. Their heart changes. The burden is gone. There's joy. There's tears. They praise God immediately. That's exactly what was happening here. We too need to praise God immediately and continually for what he's done for us. Note here in verse 10, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. those who saw it were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Next week, we're going to have a series of baptisms, hopefully in all three services. It's a wonder and amazement to watch when somebody gets baptized. They're making that step of faith, that obedience to give the testimony that they have become believers in Christ. And you see the change in their life. It's an exciting thing. Be here next week because it's an exciting thing. And if you have never been baptized, you're thinking about it, please get in touch with us this week. We would love to baptize you this week. It also gives us, when I watch somebody be baptized, an opportunity for us to reflect on our own salvation, what Christ did for us. Peter and John were on mission as they walked in that day. Let me tell you a story. It happened to me several years ago. I was traveling by myself up to my parents. My parents used to live up until about a month ago or so in a place called Door County, town Sister Bay. If you know where Green Bay is, there's a peninsula that goes off of Green Bay. They lived at the tip of that peninsula, or near the tip of that peninsula. Beautiful place. We were planning to have a bit of a family reunion. All my siblings and their families and kids and grandkids were going to be there. My son had contacted me a month or two before this and said, "Dad, how about if we go up about a week early? We can just kind of hang out for a while and just, you know, spend some time with Mom and Dad before the crowds get here." And I thought that was a great idea. Linda couldn't go with me, so I was by myself, pulling my boat, that body of water up there in Green Bay and Lake Michigan's probably my favorite body of water for a lot of reasons. It's beautiful. So I'm towing this boat. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I was finally into Wisconsin, and I was listening to audiobooks. Audiobooks keep me awake. Some are better than others. This happened to be a really good one. I had planned to stop for gas just before I got to Madison, but the book was so good I forgot about the gas. My dashboard started to blink something red. Red's not good. I ignored the yellow sign and it went to red, just flashing at me saying, "You need gas now." I looked up, I noticed there was an exit, I noticed the exit had gas, and I immediately pulled off. I turned left, went under the highway, and suddenly realized I was in a neighborhood I probably shouldn't be in. It wasn't a well-kept neighborhood. There were people on the street in their low-rider vehicles, strange things going on, and I'm thinking, I wish I hadn't pulled off here. I find the gas station. About half of the lights were not working. The half that were working were blinking, you know, that blinking thing. And the ones that were working completely didn't shed much light, but I did manage to pull in. As like most gas stations, there is a convenience store. And I pulled the vehicle up to get gas, and as I'm getting out of the car, I'm asking the Lord, "Keep me safe. Help me get gas and get out of here." As I get out and I put the credit card in and I start filling up the gas tank, I'm looking over at the convenience store and there's two men on one side. I can't see their faces because it's so dark. And there's one man on the other side and I'm asking the Lord, just keep them there. Just keep them there until I'm done. The one man started to walk towards me. Have him turn, Lord, have him turn. He came right up to me and he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" Well, I wasn't going anywhere. So yeah, you can talk to me. He said, "I'm here from the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, visiting my son. My wife and I are here visiting my son, and my son came ill and he's in the hospital. His son had a son, their grandson, and he asked if they would take him back to Minneapolis with him until he got back on his feet. The son did have a girlfriend, but the girlfriend was no longer comfortable with them staying with them, so she effectively kicked him out. Turns out, I found out later, that the wife and the grandson were inside the convenience store. Now, the girlfriend was not the mom, just a girlfriend. And so he said, I have enough money. We had round-trip tickets for a bus to get here and back, and we do have enough money for my grandson's ticket to take him with us, but we don't have enough money for a taxi to get us from here to the bus station. Could you give me $20? Yes, I can give you $20. And in that moment, I realized I needed to give him more than just $20. I needed to give him something that was very precious to me. And that was a Bible that had the way of salvation in it, a Gideon's Bible in my back seat. I opened up my back door and I reach in. I think he wondered what I was reaching for. I pulled out this Bible and there was a relief on his face. And I said, this book means all the world to me. I want to give this to you. And he looked at it. He said, I have many Bibles. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yes, I can pray with you, or with him. And he reached out and he grabbed my shoulder. It's like, I don't really want to be touched right now. And I reached out and grabbed his shoulder. And I prayed for him. I prayed for his son. I prayed for healing. I prayed for his grandson. I prayed for his girlfriend. I prayed for his wife. I prayed for a safe trip. And I'm getting ready to finish up, and he starts to pray. And he says, Lord Jesus, thank you for answering my prayer. I didn't plan to go on that street. I planned to get gas much earlier than that. God had me there to answer this man's prayer. At the end of that prayer, he embraced me, and I embraced him. Like brothers that had been lost from each other for a long time, he was my brother in Christ. I didn't know why I was there. I knew I needed gas. God had a special purpose for me being there. And I could have missed it. I could have simply said, go away. I don't want to be near you, just go away. But I trusted the Lord. Peter and John were entering the temple. I don't think they had any plans. I think Luke, who's very detailed in his in how he accounts for things, would have said they had planned ahead of time to go find this man and heal him so that it would be a big deal and people would come and they could share Christ. That wasn't what the case. They were doing what they did every day. They were walking into the temple at the ninth hour for time of prayer together. This man got their attention. Peter and John never even looked or never even said a word. They may have looked at each other and knew what the Spirit was telling them to do. We need to be on mission. We need to be on mission when we go to work, looking for the opportunity for something that God puts in front of us to share Christ with somebody. We need to be on mission when we're in the shopping, in the store shopping. We need to be on mission at the gas stations. We need to be on mission when we travel. We need to be on mission at different events. We need to always be looking for the opportunity to love on somebody and share Christ with them. What are our key takeaways today? Pray together daily. That's the challenge. I'm looking forward to hearing what happens. Be reminded that your faith is contagious. When people see our faith, it's contagious. Be on mission. Share your faith. Reflect and be in wonder, in amazement at what Christ has done for us. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, all I can ask is, what are you waiting for? Do it today. Take care of it today. We're going to have people up here that you can pray with. We're going to have people up here. If you just there's a burden on your heart, come up and pray. If you want to know more about Christ and becoming a believer, come up. They can share that with you as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, we thank you for this story that shows that Jesus Christ is God and is all-powerful. Father, I pray this morning that if anybody here does not know you, that today they would nail that down. And Father, I pray for each one of us that we would learn to pray daily with one another. Father, that you would guide our minds and our hearts on a daily basis. And Father, that we would be on mission, willing to at any time share our faith with whomever you put in front of us. Father, I pray now as we go that this week that we would contemplate what you've spoken to us today, Father, and it would change our hearts. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.